If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Paul addresses this issue in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. But if our gospel is hid, it is hid to them that are lost. I understand that Paul is trying to bring a correlation between the absencing of one's revelatory ability to the kingdom of God through the preaching and proclamation of the gospel, but I am going to borrow from that using the law of double reference to help you understand the key component of the satanic battle. The devil is not interested anymore once you become a Christian in taking you to hell. That's no longer on his agenda because he's lost that battle. He cannot take you to hell anymore. You can no longer be consigned to the lake of fire when you become a child of God. He lost that battle. He realizes there's nothing I can do. They belong to Jesus now. But what he will do is try to keep you from seeing who you are in Jesus and what you have at your disposal. And so what we have now is a group of people that are born again, but lacking the capacity to think like born again people. Why do I like to go to Italian restaurants where the language is fluently spoken? To keep in practice so I don't lose my ability. So when I get around Italian people, I speak to them in their native language, and we seem to have a greater way of communicating than them trying to communicate in the language that is not theirs. Are you hearing me? Yes, they can speak some mode of English, and I can speak better English than they can, and they can speak better Italian than I can, but I have made the conscious effort to speak their language. And because I've made the effort to learn their language, they are deeply appreciative, and I get a lot of free stuff. I was in Italy walking down Via Veneto, and I stopped to read the sign at an Italian restaurant, and the owner came out and saw me reading the sign, and she began to speak to me in English, and I turned and said, va bene, io parlo italiano. She said, parlo italiano? I said, sì, io parlo italiano bene. She said, Maria, vieni qua. She said, entra, sediti qui. Maria, come here. She told me, go in, sit down right here. They put the menu in front of me. I picked out what I wanted, and I asked her, quanto costa, how much is it? She said, no, this is free. I said, why? She said, you parlo italiano. When you go to God according to Romans 8 and you speak the language of the Spirit, then the Spirit hears what you're saying. It goes past the devil. Doubt is killed when you learn the language of the Spirit, when your mind learns how to talk like God. Maybe it's just me, but as a child, when my mother and my sisters and my cousins on the female side, they cooked, they ain't like it is today. They cooked, and they cooked from what you call from scratch. And when I would walk in the house from being outside with the guys, and I would smell vinegar candy, and I don't think there's five people in here left who understand the manna called vinegar candy. I would smell that vinegar candy when I came in the house, and I would start dancing from the front door to the kitchen, because mama was making vinegar candy. Now here I am, 27 years old, and a couple years ago, my sister said, Eric, I'm making some vinegar candy for you. That boy in me rose up. I'm 27 years old, and I started patting my feet. Hadn't even gotten the candy yet. But I was happy because my sister was reaching back into hallowed antiquity to make me something in my present that I enjoyed in my past. And I didn't forget my dance. I didn't forget my vinegar candy dance. I went over there to get my vinegar candy, and Lord have mercy. The moment I put a piece in my mouth, I began to see Van Pelt Street, the Raymond Rosen Projects, Andre, Darryl, Mikey, and all the rest of the guys, just from one piece of vinegar candy. The Bible said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Just put one little praise in your mouth and watch God begin to show you. Remember, I delivered you from that. Remember, I delivered you from that. Remember, I set you free in 65. Remember, I blessed you over in 73. Remember when the doctor said you were going to die in 84, but I kept you alive. One praise. And so, beloved, I've come to the realization that the reason why so many of you are losing your praise is because your mind has been darkened. You're no longer remembering what God has done for you. You have forgotten. You are so content in your present position that you've forgotten the El Shaddai. You keep looking at the Jehovah Jireh who's providing for you, but you forgot the Almighty God who brought you out of darkness. You forgot the Jehovah Rapha who healed you when nobody said you could be delivered. Your mind is darkened. The devil has been successful in keeping you from seeing what the Lord has done for you. But there's not a one of us in here that does not have a testimony of the sustaining power of God. And if you don't have anything to praise him about right now, then if you look in your past, you have something to give him thanks. I submit to you that if the devil is successful in keeping your mind darkened, you will never be able to fully appreciate your Christian position. And that is why so many of you will be what we call miserable Christians. And I'm not trying to be insulting, but there's some of you that are miserable Christians. You don't have any happiness. You don't have any joy. Your face looks like you've been eating lemons all day long. It is not because of your situation. I will not allow you to embrace your situation to the point where it affects you. The reason that you're miserable is because you've forgotten who delivered you. It is because you've forgotten who led you through the Red Sea. You are miserable because the devil has been able to blind you with regards to the ability of God. You are not here today on the 31st of January, 2016, because of your own ability. It was God who brought you through. It is God who brought you to this place, and it will be God who will take you through your future. And so we struggle. We cannot change a thing in our environment until we are exposed by the mental change of our mindsets. I am praying, I am hoping, I am wishing, if I may use that contemporary phrase, that you develop to the point where you look at negative things as not a curse from God, but a blessing to be able to see how big he is. So many of us have God in a 1 ounce jar, but you serve a God that's so big. Ask me, how big is he? I'm glad you asked. God is so big that the prophet said he was sitting on his throne and the earth was his footstool. Now you know you are bad something when the earth, as big as it is the place you rest your feet. Your God is so large that he walks on clouds and doesn't fall through. He's so big that no problem can stop him, but he's so loving that he lives inside of you. I have come to understand during our time of consecration and Bible reading that our conceptions of God stem from the blindness in our mind. Immediately when there is a problem, we right away start looking for fleshly ways to handle it. When we are confronted by the loss of something, we immediately begin to look for fleshly ways to handle it. For some years, I had been confronted by a challenge that I needed to get through, and I was always going to the internet to handle it. I was always talking to people and going to the internet to get the information I needed to handle this particular challenge. And one day, God said to me, he said, if I can get you off that internet, then I can heal this situation. Do you know how much faith it took for me to close my laptop? Do you know how much faith it took for me to eliminate all those websites that were giving me the information I need? But brothers and sisters, hold on to your seats. It wasn't till I closed the laptop that I began to get the revelation of Isaiah 53, that by his stripes we are healed. It wasn't until I closed the laptop that I was able to see how big God is. I was able to see how God could reach down from his vaunted position and deal with me down here on this planet. I began to see how God could meet my need even when it looked like my need was greater than my ability to provide. I began to see that God was inexhaustible when I closed all the earthly avenues. What was God saying? Chloe, change your mind. Change it. That pretty young girl sat in the Uptown Theater. I think I was around 11 years old, and I was at the Uptown with Tyrone and Mikey, and we were there, and they looked over, and they saw this cute little girl sitting there, and they said, Eric, go sit with her and ask her if you can stand a chance. I was persuaded by Mikey and Ty, so I went over and I sat next to her and I said, can I stand a chance? She didn't know me from a microphone wire. She said, yes. And if you've ever been to the Uptown, you know where the popcorn, the concession stand was. And so I walked back there and I got her a box of popcorn and a soda. And so I sat next to her and I gave her the popcorn and then I gave her the soda. And when I gave her the soda, it fell and spilled in the seat. She got up and came and sat in my lap. I was 11 years old. She sat in my lap. Oh, the boys were sitting behind me. Go, Eric, go, Eric, go, Eric. I put my arm around her little waist there, and we just watched the rest of James Bond. I didn't know what happened with the rest of Goldfinger. I felt invincible. I said, she said she could stand a chance. They had convinced my mind to ask her to stand a chance. I was standing a chance. I didn't know her name, still didn't know her name. Didn't know her name. But I didn't need to know her name, because see, when God calls you, you don't need a name. I didn't need a name. I just knew this is where we were going to meet. When I got home, Mama was out front sweeping leaves off the front. I came up to Mama. I said, Mama! She said, what is it, boy? I said, I'm standing a chance with somebody. She looked at me, leaned on the broom, and said, you don't need no girlfriend. My mind was changed back. I said, I didn't need no girlfriend. Mama has spoken. I waited till the next Saturday, went all the way back up to the Uptown, walked up Susquehanna, Ty and Mikey met me, and they met me up there, and we walked up, and there she was sitting, waiting for her new boy. I came in and sat down next to her, and I said, I can't go with you no more, because my mama said I can't stand a chance. She looked at me and said, okay, got up and went and sat next to Mikey. He was sitting behind me. I heard her say, what about you? But you see, the point I make is that your mind can be changed by your friends and your family, and everybody that has impact in your life can change your mind, except for God. It seems he's the only one that can't change your mind. It seems that he has to fight through all of these other things to get you to see how powerful he is.
For a copy of the message you just heard in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
1516P.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $16. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. To attend Bethel Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Sheltenham Avenue at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 p.m., with prayer and Bible study being held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us on the web at www.betheldeliverance.org. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Jesus says that we are the light of the world and that we are the salt of the earth. But just what does that mean? The Bible tells us that we should come out from among them and be separate, that you and I have the command to demonstrate the holiness of God, the righteousness of God, and the love of God, so that the world may know that the Lord exists. To that end, the Lord has encouraged us to write a book entitled The Christian and the Culture. The purpose of this book is to give you an opportunity to examine how the culture is trying to pull us into an ungodly lifestyle, but you and I are encouraged to live above the cultural trappings. You need to get this book into your library. There are chapters that talk about confronting the giants in your life, chapters that express God's love for you and how you and I are to separate ourselves, as the Apostle Paul says, by renewing our mind. And that is the basis of change. Our announcer is going to give you all the information you need to get this book into your personal library, to read it over and over and over again, and watch God begin to give you a sense of distinctiveness so the world will see that Jesus truly is the Lord of all creation.
Bishop Lambert's newly published book, The Christian and the Culture, is now available for purchase at Amazon.com and ChristianandTheCulture.com. Be sure to get your copy of this life-changing book and learn how to become a conqueror through Christ Jesus. For more information, call 215-885-2585.